Sometimes things just don't necessarily go the way that you plan, or the way that things always go. So tonight we're just going to follow the Spirit. Now I've heard bad stories about not being prepared. We're prepared because we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Word of God in us. But there's so much in the Word, so much that the Spirit leads us into. Sometimes you just got to kind of not really plan, but just say, okay, God, what do you have? What do you have? We've already had, like I said, we've already had the gospel preached. We've had the testimonies, the good news of what God has done for us and done in us and through us. And for other people, how to bless other people. It's just that easy to speak of the good news of God, to proclaim the gospel, and to allow Him to move in us and through us to establish the kingdom. So I really don't have anything. I mean, I've got a ton of little bitty things. But, Brother Brian, do you have something that you could share for just a little bit? Maybe Brother Damon?
I wanted to circle back on something, and just real briefly, something that Sister Phoebe shared, and it's just been resonating in me, is that Jesus said that God is concerned with even the sparrows. He knows that they have need. And He said, aren't you more than the sparrow? So I just want to encourage us. God, don't ever get to a point where you think we don't think we can bring anything to Him, because He cares about, if you care about it, He cares about it. Yeah. And so it's just the love of our Father. He says that He knows what we need of before we even ask it. So don't ever think that we can't bring anything before Him, no matter how big or how small, how trivial it might seem to us. If it concerns us, it concerns Him. And most of the time it concerns us because it's things that He's placed in our heart, and it's things that are attached to the way He's made us and constructed us. So I would just encourage you, just never think that there's anything too big or too small to bring before our Father. Because He loves us that much, that if it concerns us, it definitely concerns Him.
Amen. Before, you know, I'm just going to say we're going to kind of open the mic tonight, and we'll let Brother Brian start us off. But let's exalt the Lord one more time. If you would stand with us. You are Lord. Compares to your glory, compares to your majesty, your splendor. No one like you. And we exalt you, Father God. We exalt you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Well, you may be seated. Brother Brian, if you don't mind, you just, doesn't have to be much, just share what's on your heart.
Praise God. Just a word to remind you, as we go into the new year, of the importance of having the right focus and allowing yourself to be consumed with God's presence, with God's glory, with Him, and not with things, not with what's going on in the world. We're told in Hebrews that we should fix our eyes somewhere. More importantly, on someone. It says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. It's amazing what can happen when you are consumed with something. It's amazing what can happen when you are consumed with someone. If you've ever seen anybody consumed, they do things that they would normally not do. When someone is consumed, they forget, listen, they forget about things they would normally be worried about. When people are consumed, they can forego the natural in their life. Things that they would naturally yearn and crave for, they no longer do it because they are consumed with something. They are consumed with someone. It makes me laugh, my daughters, when they are idle, when they are what they call bored, I don't have anything to do. I've run out of games to play, scenarios to make up. How quickly they get hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. You just ate. We just gave you a snack. Well, I'm hungry. Why are you hungry? I'm bored. And it's amazing at times how when they have nothing to do, when there's nothing capturing their attention, what they need in the natural, natural cravings take precedence. But at the same time, I've seen these same two little girls caught up at play, caught up with something they were doing, watching, outside, on the playscape, swinging, running around the house, visiting with friends, when we have company over. I've seen them get so excited, listen, that they forget to eat. We got to stop and say, come and eat. Now, before, it was, I'm bored, I don't have anything to do, therefore, I'm going to eat. Therefore, I'm hungry. But when they are consumed, when their attention is captured, we have to remind them about the problem. We have to tell them, you're hungry. You should be hungry. You should eat. Because when they're consumed, when they're captured, something on the outside or someone on the outside has to remind them of their problem. Someone has to tell them that you got an issue. Your issue is hunger. But if we didn't say anything to them, they would go on being consumed with that which they enjoy. Are you consumed with his presence? Are you enjoying your relationship, your fellowship, your communion with him? Are your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith? Jesus said of the crowds in one account in the Gospels, he told his disciples, we need to get these people something to eat. They have gone with me all this time for a number of days and have not taken anything to eat. How can you go for days without eating? Being consumed with Jesus enables you to do what in the natural would normally upset you. Well, Brian, what do you mean normally upset? I've seen church folk when they get hungry, when the sermon's too long and they thinking about, what am I going to eat? Where am I going to go eat? All right, this is Brother Brian's fourth closing. My stomach growling. I'm trying to be faithful, but I want to go eat. How do they stay with him for such a long time without eating, to the point where Jesus had to bring up, they should be hungry by now? They are consumed with the teaching that he is bringing. They are consumed with the glory that he's expressing. When you are focused in the right place, when you are consumed with the right things, the natural things don't have to consume you. As a matter of fact, if you are consumed with him and your eyes are fixed on him, he will do the work while you are fixed on him, while you are seeking him. God wanted to do a work in Adam. He wanted to bring something out of Adam. He wanted to bring Eve out of him. So what did he do? He put Adam to sleep. Spiritual anesthesia. He put him to sleep and then he worked. He put him to sleep and then he operated on him. He did not do it while he was awake. He put him to sleep. When you are asleep, so to speak, in God's will for your life, sleep in his presence, sleep, asleep in his peace, asleep in his glory, consumed with his presence. Well, Brian, I'm not working real hard. I'm not focused on the problem. I'm not fixed on it. I'm not frustrated and anxious about how is this going to get done. Why? Because God has put you in a place of rest, of sleep, where you are consumed with him, and now you allow him to operate on you and to bring out of you what he wants to, what he's put on the inside of you. Some people are more consumed with obtaining than becoming. Some people are more consumed with getting than becoming. I see this with singles sometimes who are so consumed with getting married. They're so consumed with getting the girl, getting the woman, getting the man, instead of becoming the type of man or the type of woman that someone would want to marry. But when you shut that down and say, I'm going to stop seeking after a mate, I'm going to stop worrying about it, and I'm going to fall asleep in him, allow him to put me to sleep, allow me to put that flesh, those natural cravings to sleep so that I can be consumed in him, and then allow him to draw out what he has for me. Then in that, I can become who I need to be to function how I need to function when I get to the point that God is taking me to. When you are consumed with him, the Bible says that when you behold him, you become. When you behold him as in a mirror, you become something. Don't be so focused on getting that you lose track on becoming. Who you're becoming will always be more important than what you're getting, than what you're obtaining. If you are so focused on getting that thing, that wardrobe, that car, those clothes, that ministry, that recognition, that raise, instead of simply allowing God to consume you, to put you to sleep, and allow you to become the person that you need to become, so when those manifestations do come, you are ready to handle them and capitalize on them. Many people lose the harvest they get because they never become. They never became. And so who they were could not handle what they got. But when you allow yourself to become first, and while you're becoming, because you're consumed with him, you're beholding him, and then allow him to bring out of you, bring out of your life what he has for you, then when you wake up and you look up and you look around and you say, look at what the Lord has done. While I was focused on his presence, while I was focused on his work, while I was focused on his will, while I was focused on becoming who he wanted me to be, he was bringing all of this to me. He was bringing this thing that I desire to me. He was bringing this person to me. So we're back at it again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, be consumed with the kingdom, be consumed with him, be consumed with his will, his plan, his purpose for your life. And as you are consumed, the promise remains. All these things will be added unto you. As we go into the new year, let's make sure that we have the right focus. Let's make sure that we are so consumed with God's presence, so consumed with God's will, so consumed with what God is doing, that it doesn't matter what's going on around us. We should have been hungry, but we were too consumed. We should have been worried, but we were too consumed. We should have been anxious, but we were too consumed. Somebody had to come and tell us, did you see what was on the news? I didn't. I'm sorry. I missed it. I was too consumed. Well, let me tell you what you should worry about. Let me tell you that you're hungry. No, I'm too consumed. Maybe when I stop being consumed, then I'll worry about something I saw on the news. But I don't know. I may just choose to stay consumed. I may just choose to stay focused and allow things to fade to the background. Allow all that's going on to fade into the background. I believe there's a song about that. All things becoming dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's make sure as we go into this new year that we don't go in like the world. There is still more that will take place that does not look good coming up. But while we are in the world, we are not of the world. Therefore, we don't have to be. We can be. But we don't have to be shaken. We don't have to be moved. The temptation to do that will come, you can guarantee. But we don't have to be, not because we're just holding on real tight and resisting. No, but because we're so caught up somewhere else, we get to the point where it's even hard for us to see that. It's even hard for us to be bothered by that. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, allowing ourselves to be consumed with him, to be focused on his glory, to if he wants to put us to sleep, so to speak, so that he can work on us and operate on us, where I'm at a point where I'm just consumed with his glory. I'm just consumed with the relationship. I'm just consumed with his flow. I'm just consumed with his will. And I trust him that even while I'm asleep, he is working, that I can rest while he works. Now, of course, if he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. But it'll be from a place of rest, not a place of fret. Amen. Praise God.
. 2020 is not over. God has spoken many, many times this year about the fact that he is the God who keeps his promises. And I want to give testimony to what he has done in my life. This has been, I don't think there's too much to rival it, probably the best year of my life. And you're not going to hear that from most people. Well, my husband said it has been. And I mean across the board, without fail. Of area. You know how you compartmentalize the details of your life? But the number one reason why is him, his presence. Since he put it in my spirit, pastoral covenanting spirit, to pray and to pray daily, and coming here to the church and praying, it made all the difference in the world. Brother Brian, you just described my life. That whole of people saying they got to tell you what's going on so that you can know what you're supposed to be worried about. Mm-hmm. That described my life completely this year. Why am I sharing all of this? Because the things that God promised you, He will not fail to bring to pass. So while I was coming to the church and doing what He said, and He would meet me here every day, and I'm not the only one, I'm just sharing my story. He would meet me here every day. And maybe I'd start off sitting in a chair, and He would say, as He said to Adam in the garden, walk with me. It took me a while before I realized, wow, that's what you used to do with Adam. Cool, God. And I would spend time with Him and He with me. And this happened day in and day out and day in and day out. And you've heard me share testimony of how God began to increase us in our finances. And it seemed like it was unrelated, but it wasn't. God doesn't want us to pursue wealth, saints. He wants the wealth to be a pursuing you. You're the magnet. You pursue God. What did Brother Brian just say? Seek first the kingdom. We pursue God. The wealth is attracted to us. It's pursuing us. God gives us favor and connections and all of those things. I would literally just be spending time with God and God would start speaking to me about investments. I wasn't looking to make an investment. He'd start speaking to me about investments. And when I did what He told me to do, we prospered. Every single time. That has never happened to me before like that. We hear God's voice now so easily. It is not hard. It's not cumbersome. Yesterday, I was sitting in a restaurant. God bless Miss Leticia. She's the reason I was having my ribs and French fries. She knows exactly where I was. And while I was sitting there alone, I decided to take myself to dinner. Yes, you can do that. I had in my ears some things that I've been pressing into, a particular voice. His name is Billy Eberhart. And I had him in my ears because God has brought back to my spirit an assignment that He has for me. He told me years ago that I would receive the wealth of the wicked and I would distribute it for the work of the gospel around the world. Did you see how that rolled off my tongue? That's exactly how it flowed the very first time I said it. And it was years ago. And He brought that back in my spirit, and so I'm preparing. Did y'all hear that word? I'm preparing for new levels that He's bringing me into. And so I have a voice in my head. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit at this moment. Someone who is very, very wealthy who does this. And so I wanted to hear what He was saying. So I'm sitting in a restaurant. Restaurant's got noise on. I got earphones, whatever, earbuds in my ear. So that's loud, right? And through it all, I could hear God. Just quick and easy. And He starts talking to me about the increase. That's the wrong word. Lord, remind me what the proper word is on that. He starts talking to me about the abundance that He is bringing through me. And I'm just like, I'm eating barbecue. I'm sitting at a restaurant. I'm not walking to church. I'm not. And God speaks. What am I sharing? Saints, God will not fail to bring to pass any of His good promises. Because of my sister Gail, she and I have spent time together years with pastoral covering team. And yet this year, I got to spend more time with her because of prayer. And I have learned so much practical, put it into practice, wisdom and insight and go do it now in prayer and in things of God, sitting under my sister who had this wisdom all these years. But this time, I got still enough and calendar clear to sit and listen. Preparation. Preparation for stepping into what God has for me to do. So I sat down. Rob and I were in, like I said, preparation. And we made some decisions to look at, I do a net worth statement. That's the easiest way to say it is just to say it. Every year, for years, I have done a net worth statement. For those of you who don't know what it is, you add up your assets, you add up your liabilities. The difference, assets minus liabilities, is your net worth. Hopefully it's positive. I've been there when it was not positive. And I did it this year. And what God has spoken to me this summer about a seed He had for me to sow, us to sow, excuse me. And we sowed it. And he told us before we sowed this particular seed that our finances would explode. And we sowed it before we had the money to sow it. Can you do that? God did it. We sowed the seed and we knew the finances would explode. And yesterday, we saw the evidence that the financial explosion has already begun. And we saw it in our net worth. And so I'm looking at the net worth and I'm going, wow. Okay, I got to compare. Turn back to last year. This is why record keeping matters, people. For those of you who are like, I don't have to write it down. This is why it matters. Turn back to last year, a year ago. Where was it? Wow. That's up by, oh, that's good. Turn it back another year. Turn it back in five, it's been 6 years. Our net worth has increased 600%. That's like double and redouble and double and redouble. It's like incredible. And I'm like, how did we, for years, a step. It doesn't feel like I'm making much progress. Another step. Oh, this is going to take forever. And I can see it on the sheets because the sheet says you were paying this debt or you had that asset or you had these additional people you owed. Or the sheet lays it all out. And you could literally see from 1 year to the next year what was there last year for a debt was half this year. Oh, praise God. Or it was finally down to zero. Do you see what I'm saying? I could see it on paper financially. I could see what God was doing. What am I saying? What God has promised that he will do, he will do. Even when, you know, that micro vision, you're so close up on it. All you can see is that right in front of your face. But yesterday, I got to do this. Step back, step back, step back, and go back further and say, look what the Lord has done. Look how far we have come. Man, we're making progress. I didn't realize we were making this kind of progress. Praise God. What made the difference? What I said from the beginning, it was fellowshipping with him. He would speak, he'd say, go do, and I do, and increase. And things that I didn't do anything to, increase. And there were some areas that, remember I was telling you, Rob, I was like, oh, this should be more. And then when I looked at the whole picture, I went, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Because while you hear me sharing this testimony, and I was hesitant to share because it's great news, but it sounds a little bit self-serving. You all don't know the mistakes that I've made with money. You may have heard some of the degrees and the accolades that I have with money as far as an academic standpoint or a professional standpoint, but you don't know all the mistakes. Pastor Jim knew about quite a few of them. And yet, before he left this earth, he said to me, just because you fall down doesn't mean you can't get back up. And I had no clue what he was talking about, because I was so, I ain't doing nothing again. I'm just going to sit here and just listen to you. I ain't doing nothing again. And it was this year that God began to speak and brought that back to me and got me going again. So why am I sharing? Because I want to encourage somebody who has given up. You had a gift, you had an ability, you had a talent, and you said, oh, it didn't work out. I failed at it. I just didn't do good. I messed it up. Look at the mess. I didn't just mess up my money. I messed up other people's money. I blew it in my world really big till I listened to Billy Eberhardt. And then I thought, whoa, I haven't done half as bad as some other people out there. Be encouraged. God will do what he has promised you. He will do. This just might be your opportunity to prepare for that next step that he has for you. There is preparation. There is more to learn. There is. But first things first, pursue him in his presence. Hear his voice. And I promise you, as exciting as the net worth and seeing the value go up so much, as exciting as that was, it's not near as exciting as me being at House of the Lord and hearing Jesus say, I'm here, to me, in my ear. That's the best. It's just the best. So be encouraged, saints.
Praise God. Someone else have a short? Come on, brother.
That was my confirmation, something short. You know, I didn't realize that God wanted to use me in something that I always do in my house. When we lose something, I always say, God, put the have the angels to put it where we would see it. So there was this someone in our community, you know, we on the text, and he texts and says, I lost some keys with the red tip on it. So I was at, you know, work, and I said, well, just tell God to put the angels, you know, to put it where you will find it. So I'm coming home from work and everything, and I go to the mailbox, and I get out, and I park, and I get out. Right there when I get out, there was some keys with a red tip on it. And I thought, I put them in my pocket, got the mail. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go to this person's house. I went on this house. I said, hey, Pete, come here. Are these your keys with the red tip? He said, yeah, I've been looking for those keys. And then his wife said, I've been praying, but you remember what you said on that text? God put the, have the angels put the keys where you would find them. But I was thinking, I just wanted to speak that and let God use them and show them where the keys were at. But it really surprised me. I was like, wow, you know, he used me to find these keys.
Yeah.
But
praise God. God is always working in ways that we do not understand, that we can't see. It probably is more of an impact and more of a testimony for you to be involved in what their little trial, if you will. You were responsible for the outcome of that. If it had just been them, oh yeah, well, I lost my keys over there. But God is always working. And come on up, brother. There, you know, God is so patient. He can work for years on one thing. It involves 40, 50 people through years of getting in the right place, doing the right thing, lining things up. Just for one person. You know, he had all of us in his heart, all of us in his spirit before we were even created. And you know what? His plan was already started. It had already started. He wasn't surprised when we were born. He wasn't. There was a reason and a cause for every one of you. And who knows where that going to end? We may think, well, I have arrived. I'm fulfilling what my childhood dream is. That may just be a step of where God really wants you. Keep looking. Keep your focus. I think so far the theme has been keep focused on God and seek first the kingdom.
Thank you very much. I'll be real quick. Won't take long. Of course, I'll put this down and it turns off. Okay. So I think I'll hold it. So it was really interesting. A lot of things that were said tonight. I kind of started, Damon probably knows me, even on the stage, kind of taking some notes on some things. And I kind of saw some things again. I'm like, oh, I got to get up and speak, Donna. Okay. So let me start here. Okay. I'm going to say a few things y'all know. God created the earth and put Adam and Eve in the middle of that earth, gave them purpose, gave them everything that they needed. They were naked. They weren't ashamed of anything. It's pretty safe to say that in the place where they're at, they were content. Now, I'm not going to go too much further into that story. They're content. Paul talked about a little bit later on. He said, you know, I've had times where I've abounded. I've had times where I've hit rock bottom.
And all of that, I learned how to be content. And some things I just wanted to mention to you that, you know, being content is not about, it's not a last resort place to be. You know, a lot of times we try to set our own standards instead of God's standards. And then we try to work to those standards and we can't get it to work the right way. And it's like, okay, well, I got to fall back to my last resort because I can't change my situation. So I'm just going to be content because I'm supposed to be content, right? God says I'm supposed to be content. Well, it's not supposed to be a last resort. It's actually supposed to be kind of the norm, the standard, the place that we automatically land. And part of that being content, and we automatically think about, well, God's provision. You know, Paul was talking about, you know, being abased, being abounded. And, you know, a lot of times we'll think about finances. Well, you know, I might have a lot of money, may not have too much money, but I'm going to be content. And it's about God's provision, but it goes beyond that. It's about being willing to rely on God's ways over yours, being content that His way of doing things is better than mine, and I'm okay with that. You know, it's about the purpose that He has for my life, even though I don't see every step of it, I don't understand all of it. I'm going to focus on it, right? I'm going to keep going in that, and I'm not going to rely on what I think my life should be. I'm going to be content in what He structured for my life. But no, it's not just that. It's also about being content in the way He does things. Being content in His timing. You know, because sometimes we want it to happen faster. Boy, we want this to happen slower. You know, it's about totally trusting and relying on His nature concerning my life and where I'm at, and being good with that. Being good with that. So just want to make sure I mention everything. Oh, one other thing to call out. Contentment is not about being in the ideal situation. Matter of fact, the world's going to see and learn more out of the God inside of you when you're not in the ideal situation, but you treat it like it's wonderful. Why are you that way? You know, there's a pandemic out there. Why are you that way? We got to wear these masks when we go to the grocery. Why are you that way? You know, people are losing jobs, and there's a tough one. Why are you that way? Well, I can rely on God's, on his provision, on His ways. I can trust His purposes for my life. I'm content. So, just wanted to share.
Coming at me.
Mama, mama, carabaria, socoria, secoman, kidia, socorbaria, see, ecrobaria, sata, de cobaba, carabaria, see, corbaria, sa, sele coba, carabaria, sata, kudinamana, kidia, robaria, ecrobaria, sata, coma, mama, carabaria, sata, kudidias, ecobaba, carabaria, sata, nina, comani, kudidias, corbaria, sata, kudidias, ecobaba, carabaria, sata, kudidias, e baba. Carreria, a corroboria, ecrui, ecrubaria, satoco, bacarabaria, sa, ecorbaria, sat, deleluco, baba, carabaria, sa, selelelco, bacaria, secrubiasha. You are in the right place. It is the right time. What you have heard tonight, what you have heard was prepared before you ever got to this place. I have orchestrated everything that is necessary for you to go into the new season, the new time. I have already prepared the way for you. I heard you say, but they have a degree, but they have more than I have. If you have me, you have everything you need. I have already determined what the end will be. And I have determined that this house is blessed. I have determined that this house that people don't value will be valued among many. I have already determined that you are going to walk. You're going to walk in things that you can't even imagine. For it is the season of Yeshua. I told you this years ago. It is the season of Yeshua. My son will be exalted. In this season, in this time, the King of Glory will be seen. Those who have tried to exalt everything else, who have tried to exalt nature, they've tried to exalt man, they've tried to exalt themselves. But I'm telling you, those things are crumbling, and you will be on the forefront of lifting up Yeshua HaMashiach, and they will beat a path to your door, because the word is, my God reigns. As long as you are standing on that word, you will see the blessings that are already prepared for this house.
God wanted me to remind you to not allow fear to freeze you. This year has definitely been a year of the unexpected, a year of insanity, but he just truly believes, I believe that he truly knows what he's doing. Obviously, he knows what he's doing. He knows the plans that he has for you, and it's easy to have that doubt of, oh, the fear of what could possibly happen, or the doubt. And basically, I'm just shaking. Fear. See, allowing fear to not rule your life, and fear to basically trusting God's plan for your life, and trusting that he knows what he's doing in everything. And this year, I've made mistakes that I'm not proud of, but in everything, he just wants you to keep your eyes on him, and allow him to just flow in your life, and allow him to just be the one that you look to, and not look at yourself, and not get caught up in what the world says and what people are saying, and just trusting that he loves you, and his plan for you is so great and so powerful. And this, to the year 2021, I believe, is the year of fearlessness and the fear of walking into what he has for you. So I got time.
The fear doesn't come from God. And that fear translated intimidation. And we should not be intimidated, because intimidation will bring you to a point where you don't do anything. You freeze up, because you don't want to be intimidated. But God doesn't do that. God loves us, and he gives us power and love and a sound mind. Praise God. Praise God. It's been good. It's been good. See, y'all people, y'all can teach. Y'all can talk. Y'all been trained just on the spur of the moment. Yeah, God is good. God is good. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that your word has been spoken tonight, Father God. There may not have been notes prepared. There may not have been study time, scriptures, things that are normally done for an assembly. But Father God, we heard your heart.
we've heard your heart, and that's the only thing that we focus on. That's what we desire, is to know your heart and for you to know ours. And you do know ours. And I thank you, Father, that because of the work that Jesus did, our Redeemer did, that our hearts are pure before you, and that you are helping us to change and to rearrange the thinking of our minds to match that and to not be caught up in our own selfish motives and understanding. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you are here and you are leading us and guiding us, even in ways that we cannot see and that we will not see and we do not see. But you are always at work. You never sleep. You never slumber. You are always at work. You don't leave us to go work on somebody else. You are always at work in our lives. And the intricacy of our lives together as your body here in the earth, it blows our mind. But Father, we know that you have wisdom. You have the perfect outcome for each of us. And I thank you that as we hear you and as we keep our focus on you, that you bring it to pass. You bring it into our lives, and we do live in contentment. We do have the abundant overflow of the seeds that we sow, and we do have our focus on you, Father God. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Well, there's one day left of 2020. Some people are happy about that. Most of you know that for New Year's and 4th of July, I have my fingers on fireworks because I deliver for some friends of mine who friends of the family for a long, long time. They own Big Tex Fireworks, and I drive for them. I'm going all around. Matter of fact, we're leaving here tonight and going making some rounds very shortly. But you talk to all kind of people when you're delivering at the stands and stuff, and you can hear some of the wow. I'm not going to say anything about the caliber of people who generally run fireworks stands, but you know there's God loves them, yes. God loves them, but anyway. Please. We got one more day of 2020 left. That's what I was starting to say. And you know what? Tomorrow can be a great day. Because if all the things... I think you said this just now, that 2021, there's still some mess to go through. But as he said, we are not of the world. We are in the world, but we're not of it. So, you know, whether your life has been messed up or messed with in 2020 because of everything that happened, it may still be happening in 21, but we win. 2020 didn't win as far as the attacks. So you can't say 2021 because 2020 didn't. Okay, just a little play on words there. Just a little play on words. So, but 21, we win because we won in 20. Y'all are blessed. I see food entering the sanctuary, so I...
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tina. Happy birthday to you. It's going to be a good day. It's a great day. Already, it's a good day, and it hadn't even started yet. Praise God. Y'all wish Tina a happy birthday and give her some love. And grab something to eat, I guess. You are loved. You are blessed. Everywhere you go, you are the sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of God. And you bring His presence into every situation, every circumstance, and everything you put your hand to is prosperous because you are surrounded with God's favor and His grace and His mercy for you. You are blessed. You are loved. Go with God. We'll see you next year.